Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahanao Punaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
We're on verse 48.
Aparoksha jnana shoka nivritya ke ube ime. Aparoksha jnana shoka nivritya ke ube ime. Avaste jivage brute. Avaste jivage brute. Atmanam chet iti shrutihi. Atmanam chet iti shrutihi.
Sandhi. Aparoksha jnana shoka nivritti akhe ube ime avaste jivage brute atmanam chet iti shrutihi.
Remember, we've gone through these seven avastas, these seven stages, these seven states that the jiva goes through from ignorance to liberation. So the last several verses have, in this aparoksha nivritti, have been dealing with these seven states. The first one is ajnanam, ignorance, right? And from there we have avritti, the covering that ignorance causes. And then from the avritti we have the vikshepa, projection, right? If I'm totally, I can be totally ignorant of something, it's no problem, I have no conflict over it, I just assume that that's the way things are. Like I walk around saying, well, of course I'm this body, what else would I be? Could you be so silly to ask me? That's just pure ignorance. Avritti is when, if I were to, the way that Vidyaranya is looking at this, the avritti is if I were to inquire about there being something else, like for instance, would there be, is there something called Brahman? Somebody would say, well, is there something called Brahman? Or is the nature of the self infinite? I would say, well, of course it's not. That's avritti. How could you ever think of that? I've never seen an infinite self. Never experienced an infinite self. That's avritti. The vikshepa is the projection that that ignorance causes. I've not experienced myself as limitless or changeless. I'm a samsari. I'm somebody who's born, who's subject to birth and death, right? Subject to samsara. That's the vikshepa. So ajnana, avritti, this is how Vidyaranya deals with it. So ajnana, avritti, vikshepa. And then, so this is the ignorant basket, these first three. Then comes the paroksha jnanam and the aparoksha jnanam. Paroksha jnanam is the indirect knowledge. Paroksha jnanam, direct knowledge, immediate knowledge. If that immediate knowledge is there, then what do we have? We have shoka apagama, means the shoka moksha, liberation from sorrow. And then the tripti, means the nirankusha triptihi, limitless fullness. So those two, the elimination of sorrow and that state of well-being or satisfaction, that's the pulla. That's the result of the jnanam, paroksha jnanam and aparoksha jnanam. So these are the seven states Vidyaranya, the author of this text, Panchadashi, has been dealing with. And now if you remember, the Panchadashi, this chapter 7, is an exposition of several hundred, 300-something verses, an exposition on the first verse, which is a verse from the Brihadaranyaka. And so now he is now bringing this exposition of these seven stages back to the verse which begins the chapter. So here he says like this, aparokshajnana, immediate knowledge, the immediate knowledge, the aparokshajnana, and the shoka nivritti, the removal of sorrow, right? So aparokshajnana, shoka nivritti, akye, ube, ime. These two avaste, these two avastas, these two stages or states, you know, both of these, ube means both, ime means two. So both of these avaste, this is in the dual. So ime, ube, avaste, both of these avastas, jivage, which are abiding in the jiva, in the individual. He went through a whole long unfoldment on that, how it abides in the individual and not in Brahman, like if you remember those verses. So both of these avastas, which are abiding in jiva, in the jiva, these two, aparokshajnanam, direct immediate knowledge, and the removal of sorrow, the shoka nivritti, both of these, the shruti atmanam chet iti, refers to. The shruti is what? The shruti is the that begins with atmanam chet, is this verse. Atmanam chet vijani yat ayamasmi iti purushaha kanichan kasya kamaya shariram anusanchure. This is the verse that this whole chapter is dealing with. So this verse says, if a person, this jiva, this person, you, if a person should know what? Ayamasmi. If a person should know the Atma, the Self, as Ayam Asmi, I am this. That's the aparokshajnanam. Right? If a person should know the Self as I am this, means I am this Brahman. That, if that aparokshajnanam is there, if that immediate direct knowledge is there, then kim ichin, ichin, desiring what? Kasya kamaya. And for whose sake? Does that person worry about the nature of the body or these variety of experiences that the body and sense organs give? For why would that person be concerned? For what? For what reason? So now the thing is, for a person who recognizes the nature of the Self as I am this, when you say I am this, as opposed to that, there's a difference between this and that. When we say that, that is a way. This is closer than that. Right? So if I say I am this, it means I have the direct aparokshajnanam of myself as that. Right? So the person who recognizes, has that direct understanding of I am this, it's for that person that there's shoka nivritti, the elimination of sorrow. Why? Because the nature of the Atma, the nature of the Self, is free. The nature of your being, the conscious being that you are, is itself free from sorrow. So if the I, when you say normally for an ajnani, for somebody who doesn't have knowledge, that jnanam means knowledge, ajnanam that unnegates, the ajnanam means ignorance. So the ajnani is a person who doesn't have self-knowledge, so because self-knowledge is the topic here. So if a person doesn't have self-knowledge, doesn't have direct, immediate knowledge of my own being, right, then what do I have? I have ignorance of that. If I have ignorance of that, I mean, I don't know what my nature is, then I can take myself and will take myself to be something. Because I'm here, I don't know who I am, therefore that who my real nature is being covered, and so then what am I going to do? I'll commit a mistake. What is the mistake? The mistake is going to be an identification with whatever seems to be me. For instance, this body seems to be conscious, so I am this body. My sense organs seem to be conscious, I'm the sense organs too. My mind seems to be conscious, so I am the sense organs, the mind, and the body. That's what we call karya karana sangata. The karya karana sangata is this conglomerate of the body mind senses. That is me. Why? Because the body mind senses seem to enjoy the consciousness. I don't notice the fact that, in fact, the body, mind, sense organs, all are objects of consciousness, which are continually changing, and I'm always the same. That isn't recognized, because it's veiled by the ajnanam. And so because it's not recognized, I take myself to be that. If I take myself to be that, I suffer all of the conditions that that undergoes. Whatever conditions the body undergoes, those are my conditions. If the body is healthy, I am healthy. The body is sick, I am sick. The body is in pain, I am in pain. If the mind is happy, I am happy. If the mind is sad, I am sad. If the mind is agitated, I am agitated. If the mind is in distress, I am in distress. The sense organs are working, great. If my eyes have gone blind, yuck, I am blind. So whatever the condition of the, what we call the upadhi, the conditioning adjunct is, that is my condition. That's for the ajnani, for the one who has recognized ahamasmi, I am ayam, I am this Brahman, right? I am Brahman. My being is changeless. My being is free. My being is not engaged. It's a sangha. It's not attached to all of these changing experiences. It's the very being of all of these changing experiences. I was trying to highlight in the meditation, it's the very being of all of these experiences. There is no experience that's away from my being. But my being is steady. The experiences are coming and going and changing. I'm not. That's the asanga atma. So myself being always the same, right? If the ahankara, if the I notion is identified with that self, then where is the suffering for me? All of these activities are taking place. Some are good, some are bad, some are painful, some are happy. All of the activities are definitely taking place, but not for me. My being is free, and it is always the same. Now, if the ahankara, the I, because of jnanam, because of knowledge, has recognized myself and is located there, I can't say that I am suffering. Because my mind, myself, is always the same. It's not becoming better or worse. It is what it is. And I abide there. And so that's what this verse is about. Atmanam chet vijaniyat ahamasmi iti purushaha. If a person knows the self as I am this, meaning I am this Brahman, right? Then what would cause that person to take on the sufferings of the body or the mind or the sense organs? Take them on means suffer them as myself. It can't happen because my being is free from all of that. Not that those things, not that the world isn't changing and grinding away. Yeah, full of pleasure and pain, sukha and dukkha. But that isn't the point. The point is what is happening to me. And what is happening to me is not that. Right? So, he says this. The Shruti, it says, Atmanam Chet Iti. So, first two words of that verse. The Shruti, which is Atmanam Chet, refers to the Aparoksha Jnanam, the direct immediate knowledge, and the Shoka Nivritti. Both of these avastas, which are both of these states, which belong to the jiva, this verse is referring to. Okay, so this is kind of an upodgata. It's like an introduction to what's to come. Okay, so now let's go on. We can see what he has to say about this.
What were the two states for the jiva?
Aparoksha jnanam, where there's seven avastas,
yeah.
Seven states.
Yeah.
But this verse is highlighting two of them. The aparoksha jnanam, the immediate knowledge, because by ayamasmi, mm-hmm. I am this.
Mm-hmm.
And the shoka nivritti, the elimination of sorrow. Okay? Ayam mitya paroksha tvam. Ayam mitya paroksha tvam. Uktam tadvividam pavet. Uktam tadvividam pavet. Vishya swaprakasha tvat. Vishya swaprakashatva dhyapyevam tadikshanat. Tadikshanat. Sandhi. Ayam iti aparokshatvam uktam tat dvividam bhavet. Vishya swaprakashatvat dhya api evam tat ikshanat. Okay. Okay, it says ayam iti. This word ayam that means this. Aparokshatvam is said. Aparokshatvam being the aparokshatvam, the state of being self-evident. I'll talk about that in a minute. For now, I'll just take aparoksha as self-evident. Okay. Aparokshatvam uktam is said. Okay. Aparokshatvam uktam is said. Did I do the Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. Aparokshatvam uktam is said. Iti ayam, by the word ayam, by the word this. That aparokshatvam tadvividam bhavet, that is twofold. This aparokshatvam that's being said by the word this, when I say I am this, means I am this Brahman, this self that I am, this self is Brahman. Okay? So this the word this, which is the aparokshatvam, which is said by the word this, that is twofold. Let me remind you what we mean by aparoksha, right? When we normally we're using the word aparoksha in terms of different means of knowledge. You know, if we say knowledge, the means of knowledge that we have at our disposal can give us either direct, immediate, direct knowledge or indirect knowledge. And we know that just in the world you can gain direct knowledge or indirect knowledge. Direct knowledge is what we gain through our sense perception. It's called pratyaksha, pratyaksha. The eyes, that which is in the vicinity of the sense organs. It's a vishya, it's an object of sense perception. That is direct, immediate knowledge. You gain that through sense perception. The other knowledge is what we call indirect knowledge. Like, for instance, if you're reading a book about China, you're gaining indirect knowledge. So most of the knowledge that we gain is indirect knowledge, right? Through our studies. Or through the what somebody tells us. Somebody gives us directions or is describing something. It's all indirect knowledge. So most of our learning takes place by that. That's para-aksha, paroksha. That's knowledge that is away from the sense organs. So it's being something described to us that we're understanding, but we're not having the direct, immediate experience of. So now, in terms of our life in the world, our life is going to be, with the input that we're getting, is going to be primarily pratyaksha and paroksha, direct and indirect. Self-knowledge is not through pratyaksha. Through your sense perception, you're not seeing yourself, you're seeing everything but, right? To the sense organs, you experience what you can see in the world, right? So your sense perception will not give you self-knowledge, it'll give you knowledge of the world, including knowledge of your body, and even knowledge, if we say, knowledge sakshi pratyaksha, knowledge of the mind, the different thoughts, emotions, moods that are taking place in the mind, those are also seen, right? Whatever the thought, it's called seen, witnessed by the sakshi, by the awareness. Okay. It's illumined by awareness. But nevertheless, it is seen. And then what I see through my sense organs. So these are this is how we gain knowledge in the world. Or we read about it. Or hear about it from what we call an apta purusha. Means a qualified person who's talking to us about something. We gain knowledge that way. But now the self, are you going to gain knowledge, indirect knowledge, about the self? Well, you can gain indirect knowledge about the self, but it is a little weird, and we're going to be describing it here, how that works. But say now, in terms of right now, your self experience, where you say, I am an existent being. We're not requiring any particular knowledge of what that existent being is, but you can still say, I am an existent being. I exist. I'm an existent conscious being. It's kind of a bottom line. That existent conscious being, that me, experiences their present and abiding in every experience that you have. Right? In fact, it is the me that is the center of every experience that you have. Right? And it is the me that illumines every experience that you have, every thought in your mind, right? Every perception that you have through your sense organs, every mood, every emotion, the physical body. The me is the center of it, and The me is the one that knows it, or because of which, let me put it this way, the me is the one because of which all these experiences are known. But all of these experiences that are known, like your sense organs, your mind, and all of the objects, these experiences, the sense organs and the mind, for instance, don't know it. It's not because of the mind and the sense organs that the I shines, right? The I, the me, shines as the constant illumining the mind and the sense organs. They're not illumining it, it is illumining them. Because I am conscious, the mind is known. Because I am conscious, the sense organs are known. Because I am conscious, the sense perceptions are known. Because I am conscious, the world is known. But what makes me conscious? What is lighting me up? Nothing. That's aparoksha. Aparoksha means self-evident. The conscious being is self-evident, self-shining. So look at the word. Pratyaksha means that which is direct knowledge. It falls in the vicinity of your sense perception. Paroksha, it's away from sense perception, therefore indirect. Aparoksha, you know, will negate the whatever the Sanskrit word is, or unlike. Aparoksha or unatma, or unnegates. So aparoksha means what? Not indirect. Yourself is not indirect. It is immediate. So instead of saying direct knowledge or indirect knowledge, we say immediate. So right now, without now, say if you have no self-knowledge or you do have self-knowledge, it's actually irrelevant here at this stage, your self-experience is immediately known as me. You may not know what this me is, but you are there as a conscious, existent being. This being that you are is self-evident. It's aparoksha. So now he says, this aparokshatvam, this state of being aparoksha, which is told by the word ayam in the verse, he says, that dvividam, tad dvividam, that is twofold. Dvividam means its nature is twofold. Okay? Bhavet means just is. What are the two? Vishya swaprakashatvat. First way, first reason it's twofold, because of vishya swaprakashatvat. Vishya means the subject matter that we're talking about is swaprakasha, is self-evident. So the vishya here that we're talking about that is aparoksha is the atma. So this vishya, the self, is swaprakasha, it's self-evident. Nothing is lighting it up. It lights itself up. It's like if I were to say, what lights up the sun? What lights up the sun? You don't need to bring in another sun or a flashlight. You don't need anything. It is self-evident. It's an example we use to make you understand that. What lights up you, the me? Do you need a mind? Do you need another self? Do you need another consciousness coming in from behind to light it up, to make it known? No. Its very being is consciousness itself, and so it's self-shining, it's self-evident. So that's the first meaning of aparoksha. It itself is self-evident. It is known. But the second use of the aparoksha is this. Dhya api evam tad ikshanat. It's because of the seeing of that fact by the mind, right? The recognition of that by the mind, and that aparoksha jnanam takes place through knowledge, right? Because the fact is there. I am, I exist, I am a conscious being. But that, and that is never in question, whether or not that conscious being is happy or sad or going to die or different from you or different from God, all of these things are totally unknown. But the samanya jnanam, the general knowledge, the non-specific knowledge that I am, I exist, I am a conscious being, that is known. That is its own light. That is what is the constant, abiding, constant being as me in all experience. That I am happy, I am sad, I am young, I am old, I am healthy, I am sick. Whatever happens to be going on, I'm talking right now, whatever it is that is going on, I am there as the self-evident conscious being. That's the one dvividam, that's the one way that aparoksha jnanam is used. The other is when I gain aparoksha jnanam through teaching, then my mind recognizes I am aparoksha. I am aparoksha, self-evident, free from the mind, the self-evident one that illumines the mind. My mind recognizes that. My mind recognizes that it is illumined and that I am the subject, that consciousness is the changeless subject because of which the mind is known. Consciousness is the changeless subject because of which the sense organs are known, because of which the sense perceptions are known, because of which the world is known. That consciousness has been recognized in its own right rather than be identified with through this anyonya adhyasa, this mutual superimposition of being one with all of these, all of the mitya, all of the objects that are coming and going. Right? I recognize my constancy amidst all of this change. And so when the mind recognizes that, then that mind, that purusha, that person can say, I am this. I am this me. It is this me that is changeless, infinite Brahman. Now, until that knowledge is gained, that aparoksha jnanam is gained, what is the experience? Still the same aparoksha, I am, right? This part of it. I am is aparoksha. I am this conscious being. That's aparoksha. It's immediate. But I am this conscious being who is the body. I am this conscious being who is the mind. Therefore, I am always changing. As the mind is changing, I am changing. As the body is changing and growing old and dies, I am growing old and I will die. As I am in this form and you are in that form, I am definitely different from you. Right? And I am one limited being in this infinite creation. That's my experience. The aparoksha jnanam, the aparokshatvam, the state of the self-evident nature of myself hasn't changed at all, but I have carrying a lot of baggage. Lot of baggage because of the ajnanam, because of the ignorance that causes the avritti, that causes the that covering and then that all of the projection where I take myself to be all of these things that are actually coming and going in my experience. If you just sit still for a minute to recognize the actual experience that you're having, the reality of your experience is that there's one being that is self-evident, me, that is not away from any experience that I have, that is actually absolutely changeless and is never touched by any of the changing experiences, and everything but that being is coming and going, enjoying for its substance, that substrate reality of myself. That's actually your experience. You just have to, somebody has to point it out to you. You go, oh, that's right. Try to make it not right. try to change yourself. Try to change the conscious being that is present in every experience that you have. Try to put a bag over it. Try to shift it. You absolutely cannot. There's not a thing you can do about it. Try to cut it, or they have a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the wind, you know, the wind cannot dry it, a sword cannot cut it, the water can't wet it. Nothing can be done. And that's the moksha. If you could do something about it, then you have to maintain it. But it's free because you can't do anything about it. Yourself is immutable. There's nothing you can do. You can't make it better. You can't make it less. You can't do anything. It's the very, very, very being which is the self of all experience that you have. And that being, what is its nature? What are you like? Is it a bummer? So I say, Ananda. You know, that the being that you are couldn't be more. You can't even conceive of something better than what you are. And you can't change that. That's why it's moksha. That's why we say liberation. That's why we say shoka nivritti. You recognize I am that, there's no more sorrow. You recognize I am that, the tripti is nirankusha. It means there's nothing can get in the way of it. Tripti means that satisfaction where you can say, all is well with me, everything's fine. That's the tripti, all is well. And nothing can come in the way of it because nothing can touch it. It's immutable. That's why it's freedom. The world is not immutable, but the world is mitya. The world has no being or substance apart from yourself. That's another topic. We'll get into that more. But that nirankusha trittihi is something to be recognized. It belongs to you. It is your swarupa. The trippi itself is your swarupa. The world itself is subject to constant modification, constant change. But the swarupa, the very nature, the very truth of yourself, which is the being of the all that, isn't touched by it. It's not touched by it. And so the mind that has recognized that, has seen it, has recognized, that mind abides there. That mind rests. It always rests there, but now it rests there consciously. It rests there having differentiated it from the mitya. Right? The mind has differentiated the satyam from the mitya, the truth from that which depends on the truth. It's like the pot differentiating itself from the clay. It recognizes there really is nothing there but clay, and that clay will not ever get broken. When I get broken, the clay will still be there. Something like that. Clay pot is very useful in some ways because when you use clay pot, what you see is that there's nothing really there but clay. But to really understand the immutable nature, you have to go to rope snake. Because if you think rope snake, you know, the snake projected on a rope, then you understand how the mitya, the snake, which is totally dependent on the rope for its being. There is no other being there. The snake doesn't touch the rope. The snake really isn't there. Right? There is no snake. You can say the same thing about the clay pot and say there is no pot, there's only clay. But in our mind, we imagine moving the clay. But when you think of rope snake, that's why we use both of these, so your mind can see the truth in two different ways. You sit, think of rope snake. The snake is the maya. Right? It totally depends upon the rope, but it can't touch the rope. There's really only rope there. It has no substance. So here, if you look at this creation, what is its substance? What is its substance? The substance is only the rope. The substance is only the conscious being. It has nothing in it, nothing of itself. And so when you recognize, that's why sometimes just sitting in meditation, because in meditation you slow everything down, you know, you let your own presence come to the foreground. And then you just notice, just relax, and let all the experiences that you're having in your mind, your sensory experiences, mental experiences, emotional experiences, just let them all be as they are. So relax. Don't try to control them. Don't try to do anything. Simply let them be. Just be present to them. Be completely present to them. And what do you notice? That every experience that you're having is fluctuating. It's changing this, then that, then this, then that. But the ground of it, the being of it, isn't fluctuating at all. The being itself is steady. The being itself is immutable. The being itself is me. There is no other being there. I am that being. And so that's what, when you slow down your experience, you recognize that, because your mind is giving yourself, usually the mind is so busy moving about in the creation, doing this, doing that, worried about this, worried about that, getting all involved in itself, it loses sight of that fact. You know? And so you want to slow your mind down so that it reckons, oh, yeah, okay. I'm just the mind after all. And there's the stable me that is there. So you slow things down so you can recognize it until you don't have to do that. Right? Okay, so now, here's these two. Let's do another one. He's getting into a different thing here, so I'll explain a little bit. Parokshajnana kalepi Vishyasvaprakashata Sama Brahma Svaprakasham Astityevam Vibodhanat Paroksha Jnana Kalepi Vishya Svaprakashata Sama Brahma Svaprakasham Asti Iti Evam Vibodhanat. Okay, it says Paroksha Jnana Kalepi, even at the time, Api even, at the time of Paroksha Jnana, indirect knowledge, even when at that time when your person gains indirect knowledge. Remember, indirect knowledge would be, in this context, is when somebody comes and tells you, you know, in the Upanishads, in the Vedanta, they teach that the nature of yourself is limitless consciousness, is Brahman. The nature of yourself is Brahman. And then you say, really? The nature of myself is limitless consciousness. Yes, honestly, that's what they teach. Okay, that's Paroksha Jnana. Okay? So it says, even at the time of Paroksha Jnana, and then you say, you have some Shraddha, you say, oh, so there is a Brahman. Right? That's different than saying, I am Brahman. The person says, the Upanishads teach that there is Brahman, that the nature of yourself is Brahman, is limitless. You say, oh, really? So there is such a thing as Brahman, and I am that Brahman. That's what they teach. So Brahman, there is Brahman. Okay, so it's now indirect knowledge, because you don't know what they're talking about, but you know, you don't know that I am that. Okay, but even at that time, it says, Vishyasvaprakashata, the self-evident nature, you know, Vishya means the subject matter, which is the Atma, is Svaprakashata, that state of being self-evident. Sama Brahma. Okay, so what it says is, Brahman, which is self-evident, that is the same. Brahman is still self-evident, you know, the nature of the self, it is self-evident. Even at the time of Paroksha Jnanam, Paroksha Jnanam, the self is the self. Somebody comes to you and says, that self that the Upanishads teach about is self-evident, limitless consciousness. Now, you don't know exactly what they're saying. You just say, oh, it is? Oh, Brahman itself is limitless consciousness. Okay? You have indirect knowledge of that. Somebody else has direct knowledge of it. But the person who has direct knowledge of it has approached jnanam of it, has what knowledge? Brahman is limitless consciousness. The person who has indirect knowledge of it has what? Brahman is limitless consciousness. One says, I am that limitless consciousness which is Brahman. The other one says, there is limitless consciousness which is Brahman, which is me, which is supposed to be me. But in both cases, there is limitless consciousness. Okay, so now, that's one level. The other thing is this. Whether you're totally ignorant, agnanam, you're an agnani, or you have indirect knowledge. There is such a thing as Brahman. The Ajnani, I've never heard of any Brahman. The one who has indirect knowledge, there is such a thing as Brahman. The Aparoksha Jnanam, the Jnani, I am that Brahman which is limitless. And here's three conditions. In all three conditions, the Aparoksha Jnanam, which is me, is present. As I am the one, I am the conscious being, who illumines the mind that says, I've never heard of any Brahman. I am the conscious being, the me. So I am the me that whose mind is saying, I don't know of any Brahman. I am the self-evident Brahman, the me, whose mind is saying, oh, there, yes, there is such a thing as Brahman. I am the self-evident me, which for the mind that is saying, I am that self-evident Brahman, right? One doesn't know at all. One knows completely with aparoksha jnanam, with direct, immediate knowledge. The other one has paroksha jnanam, recognizes that the Shruti says it, that there is such a thing. And so I accept the Shruti. If I say if I'm an astika. Astika means that I accept the Vedas. I accept the Upanishads as valid, as a pramana. If I'm a Hindu, and I accept the Vedas as the authority of the Vedas. And I accept the... We do that all the time in our learning. You accept the authority of an Aptapurusha, means a wise person in that field, respected person in the field. Or you accept, here in this case, you accept the authority of the scripture. You've been born in that tradition, you accept the authority of the scripture. And then you find that the scripture, the Vedas, say this. That there is Brahman and Brahman is infinite. And that you are. That is the nature, that is what they say. So on the authority of the Vedas, you have paroksha jnanam. Right? Just like in the world of, say if you're reading a book on science, a science textbook, on the authority of that book, you believe what they say and you build your knowledge upon it. So say if you have that type of shraddha, that type of faith in a given scripture, and the scripture says that, then based upon that, you say, okay, yes, I accept that. That's paroksha jnanam. But what the paroksha jnanam is saying is the nature of yourself to be limitless conscious being, which is exactly what the one who has direct immediate knowledge of paroksha jnanam knows, okay? So that's why they say, sama brahma, that is the same, that visya prakashatva, swaprakashatvam, that self-evident nature, sama, is the same. Now, brahma swaprakasham asti iti evam vibodhanat. What he says here? It's going to be the same from one who knows vibodhanat because of knowing in this manner what? Brahman is self-evident. Right? So somebody says, knows in this manner, Brahman is self-evident, is swaprakasham. Not I am swaprakasham, I am that Brahman which is self-evident. But I know that Brahman is self-evident. Why? Because the Shruti tells me that. So if I know that in this manner, right, I am actually knowing what that self is, even though I don't have direct knowledge of it. You think this is an important argument? We're going to be going on. You know why it's an important argument? It's important because one of the most difficult things to understand in gaining knowledge is that the self that you are is already completely present. The knowledge that you have to gain, right, is not a new experience to be had, but it's a recognition of the self which is already here. You are already here. The problem is not the self-experience. That is, self-experience is aparoksha, it's self-evident. You're already here. That's not the problem. So there's no experience to be gained, right? So now it's going to be the problem is one of lack of recognition It's because I've taken my being to be this body, mind, sense organs. So the very being, which is really the being of the whole universe, has been limited by my mind to belong to just this body, mind, sense organs. So it's not a question of now having an experience, a new experience, so that I have some revelatory experience that wasn't already here.
An epiphany.
And you can have an epiphany, you can have a revelatory experience, but the revelatory epiphany, it is that I am what I seek. That the one that I'm seeking is already here. And so to understand, it's very important to understand the difference between paroksha jnanam and aparoksha, because everybody thinks like this. The teaching, I come to the teacher, and the teacher gives a lecture about Brahman. And now I have to go and have an experience of it. So I start out, you know, reading and studying and listening to lectures and going and listening to the teacher. And she tells me or he tells me this and that and the other thing about it. And I gain the paroksha jnanam, the indirect knowledge. Now I have to go have an experience of that. Right? I have to go have an experience of that. Well, that's a huge problem. This is the problem that the Upanishad goes, and all of the Prakarana Granthas, all of the teachings go, bend over backwards to try to break through this problem. I'll tell you why it's a problem. It's because as we experience this world from beginningless times, if you believe in the just transmigration of the soul, from the beginningless time, we've experienced this world how? Through sense perception. And that means that the knowledge has to be gained. It's not here. The experience has to be gained. Like, until my eyes fall on that painting, I don't have an experience of the painting. Right? Until somebody tells me something, I didn't know that. So I'm always having to gain experience, gain knowledge. The experience and the knowledge were away. And so now in my mind, all I know is, okay, I have to gain this experience, I have to gain this knowledge, because that's how we do it in the world. Right? There's something different here, though, is that I'm already here. My being is already here. I can't be gained any more than I am. I'm already gained. The self-experience is already here, so that isn't the problem. I can't go out and gain it. I can't go out and look for it. Right? And so what we're used to happening, taking place in the gain of knowledge, is not so here, because I'm already present as aparoksha, as direct, immediately known as consciousness itself, as the conscious being itself, the one because of whom everything else is known. And so this paroksha, this paroksha and pratyaksha, right, this direct knowledge and indirect knowledge is not going to really apply here. Because I'm already present. So in fact, as we'll see as this discussion progresses, we'll do next week, as we'll see, there really is no indirect knowledge for me in the way that we know it in the world. I have indirect knowledge of China, so now I get on a plane and go over to China and have direct knowledge. Here it's not quite the same, because the aparoksha jnanam even is already here, even if I have no knowledge. The self is shining, even with no knowledge. Right? The me is here, even with no knowledge at all. But the problem is, because of the superimposition of the body and the sense organs and the mind, this me is mistaken by the mind to be it, to be the mind, to be the body, to be the sense organs, therefore to be subject to death, subject to sorrow, subject to all of these things. The differentiation hasn't taken place. But the me is here. I'm the same one. You gain self-knowledge, and what do you recognize? Oh, I? You mean me? This me? Me? Is Brahman? Yes. This me that you had mistaken to be this body, it is this me that is limitless. See what I mean? It's a very different. So this paroksha and aparoksha are essential for the mind to really grasp how this knowledge takes place. What is it that we're pointing out to? You have to understand the whole thing. Right? So that's why he's going to spend several more verses on it. Okay, let's stop. We'll stop here. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.